Hey guys, this is Daniel from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. Today is not a regular interview. It is the tandem of Daniel and Iboro, and we're talking about tips 7 through 9 from my most popular blog post, 200 Tips for Effective School Leaders. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. We're talking about honoring people before the vision, the importance of eating well, and also exercising. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer. And now for our Bauer trivia question. Daniel met the up-and-coming soul singer Leon Bridges at a concert in Chicago. Stay tuned. The answer will be revealed following today's amazing podcast.
We're rolling.
Guess who's back?
back again. Dan and Ivy.
Grab a friend.
I hope you enjoyed that little musical breakdown. I know we did. So we're back. What are we discussing today, Ivy?
So we're tackling the next set of leadership tips. Can't talk today. And the first one is honoring people before your vision. And this is actually, this is actually my favorite tip so far. And because I view myself as a very other-centered person, or at least striving to be, Daniel might feel differently. What I view about myself might not be what people see about me. But that's neither here nor there. But
I save those discussions when you're not here.
But this tip gets me thinking about several things. So Daniel, let's take a step back and let's talk about vision for a second. So how do you cast a vision that inspires people? The vision gets thrown around so often, but I think one of the critical things is if you have an idea for improving the world, you got to enlist people that are excited about that vision. Otherwise, it's not going to.
Well, you know, I think by now everyone's seen the YouTube or TED Talk, Simon Sinek, and Starting with the Why. We'll link that up in the show notes. If you're one of the, if you're the only one that hasn't seen it, that one's there for you. Free gift from Better Leaders, Better Schools. But, you know, you got to start with that why. That's what he says. It's not the how you're going to do something or what you do, but it's why you do it that's so important. And I think it's also so easy to forget why you're doing what you're doing. Even in education, where the gifts you receive from the students, the motivation that you get is so tangible on a daily, if not hourly basis, each time you teach a class or work with kids and the staff and everything, it's so easy to forget the why because of life is just hard if we're real. The hustle and bustle, you know, continues to go. Time travels so fast, but you got to constantly refocus and remember why you're in it. So I would say start with the why. Bring other people in. So when you're trying to cast that vision too, it's really important that it's not just your vision. Although as a leader, you know, it is your job to cast the vision. I think the more people you can get involved, at least to hear, you know, what's important to them. So whether that's the staff, the students, I think it's really important to ask the parents, what are their vision for their kids? And then sort of distill down, I guess, the main points of that is super important in terms of developing a vision that inspires people.
Well, today we actually had an additional visitor to the podcast. Daniel's dog Maya.
That was Maya, and if you could hear the drinking of water in the background, she just wanted to say hi to the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe.
All right, so just talk about how you cast a vision. So now let's get back to the first part, which is honoring people before your vision. Daniel, what does that look like? What does it mean to honor people before your vision?
Yeah, so in some of these podcasts, we've talked a lot about the Global Leadership Summit. And again, that's easily the best leadership conference I've ever participated in. I've gone for the last 5 or 6 years. I schedule my summer around it. And if you didn't go to this past one, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/report. And I wrote a report just for you that distills down all the main leadership takeaways from the conference. But Bill Hybels, the guy who started this conference, he says everybody wins when a leader gets better. And recently in his last talk, he talked about how if you're not leading with a white hot why, you know, something that's just burning inside you that you're passionate about and driving you for all the, you know, everything that you do for the organization, we've got a major problem. So in terms of personal practice, like you absolutely need to have developed like a white hot why. If you're in a job that is just to put food on the table, that's important. But what's more important is finding something that just drives you, that you will jump out of bed for, that you'll take a bullet for, and you know, find that passion, that purpose, and follow that vision like crazy.
And so then, how do you honor people? So once you have that vision, what does it mean to honor people and place that at even in higher importance than actually the micromanagement of your vision?
So Ivy's being really nice right now because I realized that I didn't answer his original question.
So I'm honoring him, guys. Cause he, you know.
So I forgot. You know, sometimes you get answered a question, you forgot, what am I answering again? And that is super important. So going back to the leadership summit, and I, again, betterleadersbetterschools.com/report. I want you to get those key leadership takeaways. And I got so excited about that I forgot to answer the question. It's so easy as a leader to establish that white hot why and have that passion and purpose that you jump out of bed for, and then say, okay, we're gonna go accomplish this at the expense of potentially everybody else. And you know what I've learned, in, especially in schools, like students are the reason we do everything. And for us, if our vision is to be the greatest school in Chicago, or if it's to make sure that you know each student learns at a high level, if you forget about the staff and their part that they play in accomplishing that vision, guess what? The vision doesn't get accomplished. So it's super easy to get so caught up in your own vision, so passionate about it, you forget that you need everybody else to accomplish it. It's not just you. So in practice, it looks like just checking in, I think, relationally with your staff to make sure that they're being taken care of. That's what it means to honor people before your vision. Bill also talked about in that talk he gave on day one of the Global Leadership Summit that we all have blind spots. And by asking people to help you identify those, you may find out that you are a person that's extremely passionate, but as a result, you're passionate only about what you care about and you forget to care about your people, which could be an extremely terrible mistake to make if you're a leader.
This is really, really good stuff. And one of the things that this discussion to think about is how does honoring people expand the sphere of influence of your vision?
You know, I think if people are taken well care of and they feel like they actually matter, we talked in episode 6 about leading your tribe, Seth Godin. He's really famous too for talking about treating people as human beings as opposed to cogs in the system. And you know, whenever you forget about your people, you're limiting what you can accomplish. And if by honoring people above everything else, making sure that they feel cared for, loved even, that their needs are met, that their obstacles and their jobs are taken away, that they're well-resourced. Whatever vision you had, why don't you multiply that by 10? And that's what you're going to accomplish when everybody else is honored through the process.
Daniel, this actually brings to mind a recent article that I think has been the talk of social media a little while ago. When Daniel's talking about the importance of honoring people before your vision, that's not necessarily how every company operates. There's actually a really interesting article from the New York Times that profiled Amazon and looked at their work culture. And their work culture was, for me, very striking because I share very similar values to Daniel. But where they prioritize a vision, in my opinion, just from the reading of the article, you might disagree, but they prioritize accomplishing the vision, being at the cutting edge over the people at the expense of really negative feedback, or not being understanding about situations. And thus, you don't see Amazon employees lasting that long because they're burnt out. And so I think it's important. That's one really concrete example, and we're going to link that in the notes, that article. But it's one really interesting example of how you can see the tension that can exist between vision and honoring people before that vision, and it can really influence how you interact with your team and your company. But now let's go ahead and look at and move to the next one. We're actually switching gears a lot in terms of mental well. Well, actually, not necessarily. We're thinking about it from a different context, to say it that way. So now we're thinking about eating, eating well, right? And the thing is that you would not necessarily think that eating well goes back to mental wellness and what we've been talking about with honoring people and so forth. But in some ways, it really does. So Daniel, let me give you a softball. What's your favorite food?
Well, I'm a Chicago guy, so it's a split tie between deep dish pizza and Italian beef.
So if someone came to Chicago, would you tell them to go to Giordano's or no?
Giordano's is good, but my family grew up on Lou Malnati's.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that is popping.
It's popping.
Okay, so now let's make it a little bit harder. Okay, Daniel, over the past month, how often have you eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner in one day, like had a complete set of meals?
Well, I do that every single day. You know, I never miss breakfast. I think when people started telling me as a kid that was the most important meal, then I said, well, I'm going to make sure that I eat it every single day. So, yeah, I know that I'm not fun to be around when I don't eat. And maybe you've been around. I don't know if that's okay. You can stop laughing. I think Ivy's been around me before. Potentially when I'm hungry. But if I'm hungry or tired, you should not be around me. And so I make sure that I'm well nourished and I don't miss any meals. In fact, I probably eat more meals than normal people because both Ivy and I are training for the Chicago Marathon. And your metabolism really kicks in. The calories you burn is crazy. And so I'm basically constantly eating.
Yeah, I actually relate to Daniel, and I'm laughing because, well, I actually have seen his, we call it hangerness when you're hangry, right? I've seen his hangerness in action, and I've been told how my hangerness can affect the entire group, and it's very evident. And similar to Daniel, I get very irritable. I just check out of meetings. My face looks like just terrible. And I think it really goes well into how, Daniel, how does eating well affect your ability to lead?
Well, you know, like sleep, and maybe I'll link this in the show notes too. Michael Hyatt really talks a lot about leadership as well, and I enjoyed a podcast he did about sleep. So I'm going to link that into the show notes. But, you know, this is all about self-care, and so you're not going to be able to lead as well if you're not well-nourished. And we talked about eating in general and just making sure you get all your meals. But, you know, the diet and the nutrition is also extremely important. And I just want to give a shout out to my wife, Erica, in that sense, because, you know, I ate, I don't know if it's like a stereotypical man, but, you know, I eat basically just meat and potatoes and fast food all the time prior to being in a serious relationship, getting engaged and now married. And now definitely my life has improved so much because I eat more well-rounded. So it's not meat and potatoes all the time. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's a really good food group, IB. It's called Vegetables. they have a ton.
What is that? Wait, yeah. What?
They're green. The greener they are, the darker and greener they are, the better. But yeah, kale chips, spinach, you know, broccoli, all this good stuff. Carrots for my eyeballs and sight. You know, I don't even have to wear glasses anymore. I eat so many vegetables. But yeah, just making sure that the quality of food is up there as well is extremely important. If you're just eating a bunch of fat, a bunch of sugar and all that sort of stuff, that goes through your system right away. And your body's not going to be able to translate that into the power that you need in your mind and your muscles to effectively lead.
And this actually transitions well to kind of an aside that I actually feel relatively passionate about when I think about my upbringing and my school experiences. It is so important, not just for your teachers to eat well, but for your kids to eat well. And Daniel, as an administrator, can you talk a little bit about how what you've observed as a teacher and administrator when it comes to students and their diets and how that affects their ability to think, to concentrate, to engage, and so forth?
Oh, man. I wish I had an answer to this problem. But, you know, we feed the kids, obviously, and in Chicago, every kid actually gets free lunch, whether they are on the free reduced lunch list or not. But unfortunately, it's like food they don't even want to eat. And I commend Michelle Obama for trying to make school lunches healthier. But now the reality is, instead of even eating, like kids like are on mini like starvation protests daily because they don't like the food as much. And so they just try to grab some candy and some chips from like a corner store. And, you know, that's definitely not helping them. So I wish I had a solution to this problem. Not only, do you need to provide nutritional food, but, just because something's nutritional doesn't mean it has to be low quality. So we got to figure that out somehow.
Any leaders here that are working at that interface between education and food, man, if this is resonating with you right now, we're encouraging you to do something about it. It's really important.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, moving to the last tip, but it feeds into well.
I like how you did that. Feeds.
Yeah. we're talking about exercising. I know a quarter of you guys are just like, ugh, this is great. That means IB and Daniel are going to talk about marathon training for 7 minutes. That's not true. We're thinking about how, again, exercising and having a regular schedule makes you a better leader. And I think one of the biggest challenges is how often is it that we are at New Year's Eve, we're meeting someone we don't really know, and they're like, hey, man, what's your New Year's resolution? And Daniel's like, oh, man, I want to run a marathon. You're just like, oh. but then it comes January 2nd, and you have to do that first training run. You're just like, I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe I'm actually making a big mistake. So, Daniel, how do you carve out time to achieve exercising regularly? And that doesn't have to do instead of the marathon, but really anything that you like to do that requires physical exertion.
Yeah, well, let me share a key resource first and then talk about how I carve out time. The resource I want to share is there's a podcast, so I'm assuming you like podcasts because you're listening to this. But there's this guy, Sean Stevenson. And if you go into iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that stuff, he has a show called The Model Health Show. Sean Stevenson, shout out to him and The Model Health Show. And so, you know, in terms of nutrition, you know, I was talking for a few minutes about that. You could clearly identify me as a non-expert in, you know, how to eat right. But this guy, he is an expert. Give him a listen. But he's also expert in fitness as well, and sleep, to tell you the truth. So one thing, and it ties back to exercising regularly. One of the shows talked about exercise and doing things that are fun and exercises play. And so the way I could relate this to you is I used to ride my bike as a young boy all the time in middle school, high school. And then my bike got stolen. I didn't lock it up. And then I didn't get another bike for probably a decade. When I finally purchased another bike, it was 10 years later, I was in grad school, and I would just ride my bike for miles and miles and hours just because I felt like a young boy again. And really at the essence of that story is riding a bike to me is fun. Basketball, just playing as many games as possible. I'm not terrible and I'm not great. I'm somewhere in the middle. I could score about 30 points per game, but no.
30 points on Jordan? Or?
30 points on, let's just say I'm not terrible, but I'm not great. I have fun. And basketball has always just been like play for me. Swimming is like that too. Ironically, marathon running isn't, and it's more about providing clean water for kids. But if you find things that are fun, right? Exercise doesn't have to be terrible. You do that, you're going to be okay. And it's not as hard then to find time to achieve regular exercise. And then finally, what I want to say about carving out time is that my job, I don't know about yours, what it's like in medical school or you listener, whatever you do, but I get a lot of stress from work. And what I have found is if I can go straight to the gym, you know, have a nice pre-workout snack so I have fuel, I feel awesome working the stress out from a work day right after work. It's just incredible to me. So whether that's running or I really like lifting weights, all the stress just, you know, erodes. And then I hop in the sauna, get a quick shower, and then I could go home and I just feel extremely balanced. So getting rid of stress, doing things that are fun, and it's really not hard to exercise regularly. Lastly, I say one more thing, find a friend. And so when I lift with my friend Mark, and I run with Ivy. And so if you got friends that are interested in similar exercises or games or whatever, you're going to do it and do it all the time.
That's awesome. And I think one of the things someone told me that actually that stuck with me has been that sometimes exercising can be really good because you might be having like a really good day or a really bad day, but to know that you will have completed a workout, it makes you feel like you accomplished something for that day.
Right.
And that's something that I really like, and it's one of the reasons why I try to remain consistent when it comes to exercising. So another question I want to talk about is, Daniel, so when you exercise regularly, how does that affect your emotional and physical health?
Yeah, I just like that stress example. I think it just balances everything out. And so I just know after I go for a long run or a hard lifting session or whatever that is, I just feel like more put together. So even though physically I may be exhausted for a little bit of time and need to recuperate, just emotionally, mentally, and physically, I feel like a stronger person. I can be more present, you know, with my wife and with friends, and just really do things that I enjoy. And it's when I'm all wound up, you know, in terms of stress, that I'm not able to give. I need to take more. And so that's why I think exercising regularly is so important.
Definitely. And one of the things, if you are a Chicago-based listener, I really encourage you, even if you don't like running, just walking along the lake. Because for me, I found, I admit, I actually like running a lot. I ran track in college. But what I've loved about living in Chicago is being able to run along the lake and just look at the skyline and just kind of just be within my own thoughts and just relax and get into a rhythm and just enjoy it. My wife actually will routinely walk to the lake and just sit there for an hour or so, just reflecting and meditating and getting more in tune with her spirit. I think that that's really important because she is a second year resident at University of Chicago, a medical resident working in pediatrics. And it can be such a high stress environment that it's really important to find time for yourself when you can. So the last thing I'll talk about.
Well, let me add on to that though, actually. So I really appreciate you bringing up the lake and Jasmine as well. And so this goes into like exercise that's play and that you find it fun. But no matter where you live, there's probably a beautiful area too to connect to. So in Chicago, we obviously have the lakefront path, and that is just drop dead gorgeous. One of my best friends, Lindsay, she lives in Colorado, and she's lived in the Boulder and Denver area for quite a while. And by Boulder, her condo used to look right at the Flatiron Mountains. And so she has no reason to hop up those mountains and either mountain bike or when it's snow season, ski. But it's finding those things, right, those beautiful areas that you can connect to as well.
And the last thing is, you know, how have you found exercising to be able to help you generate more ideas? You talked about this a little bit in your tips webpage, but I think that was a really interesting point.
Yeah, you know, I can't talk about like in terms of how the brain works, so this is totally experiential, but it seems as if when I'm able to step outside of the workplace, and my brain sort of starts operating in a subconscious level when I'm lifting or running, right? I'm not really thinking about anything, but I actually am thinking a lot about things. And ideas will just pop in my mind, solutions to problems that I haven't worked out are really good ideas. To tell you the truth, Better Leaders, Better Schools, this blog and podcast in many ways was birthed out of the gym and just lifting and thinking, huh, wouldn't it be cool if we tried this? And so I think it's just when you get yourself out of the routine and then you're able to sort of just focus on releasing stress and working hard physically, exerting yourself that way, that mentally your mind is like almost given a break and ideas just... To me, they've seemed to float into my mind, and then I've just gotten so many great tips and ideas just through exercising alone.
Definitely, definitely, and I can definitely attest to that. So we have reached the conclusion of this episode. So now we're going to shift to talking about takeaways. For me, again, I really, really love talking about honoring people for your vision because we talk not only about what that looks like. We first take a step back and examine how do you cast a vision? As Daniel said, it's really about finding that white hot why that you're just so desperate and passionate for. It transforms a job to like a calling. Right? Mm. And this often means that you can't achieve a vision without the help of others. And you need to pour into those people. Because they're so important. If you're trying to create an amazing school, invest in your staff. Right? If you're trying to create an amazing hospital, invest in your doctors, invest in your nurses. We could extend this analogy to so many different institutions, but that's really the general idea. And then switch gears a little bit and talk about eating well and exercising well. And what I really like about these is it actually makes you a better leader when you focus on these issues. Because again, one of the core ideas of Better Leaders, Better Schools is what Daniel was talking about, self-growth. And one of my favorite phrases that one of my friends has repeatedly emphasized is that we all should strive to be that which we would become, right? And I think that's an excellent extension of self-growth. And you really can't be the change you want to see in the world if you're not continually working on yourself. And that includes eating well. It allows you to be more present in meetings, to be able to be more in control of your emotions. And this also extends to exercising well. It can lead to thinking about thinking outside the box, getting out of that space and just being somewhere else, allowing your subconscious to work. And then it also allows you to reconnect and to just kind of process things, and can also be scaled to be a more corporate exercise where you're team building with your staff or just doing various things. Like maybe you have basketball Fridays where you try and dunk and realize you're Michael Jordan dream.
Anyway, so those are the main
takeaways that I got from this segment. And Daniel, we are now in that time where it's call to action. What is the weekly call to action this week?
So yeah, last time I told you with episode 6 to text the word phrases to 33444, and you get an MP3 that's the 15 phrases that really served me well as a leader. That's a free gift to you, 10 minutes less, just awesome phrases that you can use today as a leader in your organization. Today's call to action, though, I want to really focus on honoring people before the vision. And so going back, you know, again, we've talked a lot about the Global Leadership Summit. You really need to go if you haven't gone. And day 2, speaker number 1, Horst Schultze, Ritz-Carlton Group, he talked about how he really took the Ritz-Carlton and his other hotel group to this, the highest level possible of customer service. And they had 21 ways of how they did that. They repeated it throughout the organization. And so the call to action comes here. He met with new employees and he said, you know what? I'm really important, right? I'm the president of this organization. Like, it doesn't get more important than me. But, you know, and everybody laughed, da, da, da. And then he looked at all these other new employees. He said, but you know what? You're just as important as me. And so I want you to go around your organization and think of ways that you could communicate to your staff that you are just incredibly important. Teacher, custodian, lunch lady, main office worker, whatever that is in your organization, treat them equally. And treat them with that they have great significance in your organization. That could be verbally telling them. It could be through thank you cards. You know, you figure out how you're going to honor your people. But that's really the call to action today. Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode number 10 of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Today we discuss, Daniel and Ivy, we discuss tips 7 through 9, honoring people before your vision, eating well and exercising. And if you check out the show notes at betterleadersbetterschools.com, just search the word tips, the now infamous blog post that has gone viral, as well as the different podcasts around a deep dive into this content will all be at your fingertips. I prepared a free gift for you called the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. These have been 15 just incredible phrases that have served me extremely well over the years. That gift is free to you. It's a 10-minute or less MP3. And all you have to do is text the word phrases, PHRASES, to 33444. That's phrases to 33444. And you can download that MP3 for free today. Please rate and review me in iTunes. That's the best way to thank me for the podcast or the blog. Please just leave an honest review on how you're connecting with the podcast. In terms of the trivia question, I'm a big fan of Leon Bridges. He seems like an old soul, Otis Redding type of guy. And I was able to see him in the spring of 2015 at a show. And he came out afterwards and, you know, we just talked about a few things, but a super cool guy. Probably doesn't remember me, but that's all right. I remember you, Leon. Keep up the great music. And if you don't know him, check him out. Apple Music, Google Play Music, whatever you use, Spotify. You know, check out Leon Bridges. He is a great soulful singer. And thanks again for listening. See you at the same better place, same better time.